Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish. Powers of life fill me and enfold me. Suffuse me and empower me, awaken me, the fire of passion, courage, and creativity, which burns within. As the fire in the night banishes the dark, so may the fire in my belly banish all that holds me back or frightens me, that I may live in the light and seize the joy of every moment. There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power, proud, beautiful, and unafraid. No power may hold me back or cage me, for the power of the Spirit is in me. I rejoice in my life and in every action. I love and am loved in return. I reflect the light of deity in my life with boundless passion and creativity, with which I honor myself in the divine, for that which is above is like unto that which is below. Yea, both are equal, for neither is complete without the other. But together, all things are possible. Welcome to Pagan Priestess, and thank you for joining us. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. This is Tracy Logan Wood, your juggler of sound, coming to you live on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network with our broadcast this evening of Pagan Priestess. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight I have joining me Kazan Clark from Arkansas. That would be your cue to say hello, Mama Bear.
You're breaking up, honey.
Oh, okay.
Hi, anyway.
We also have joining us Rhiannon Breyer from Illinois.
Hello. Can you hear me?
And hi, Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Hi.
We can hear you. And our brand spanking new priestess, Amanda Windwalker.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
So we're breaking in Priestess Windwalker this evening, since this is her first show. So, to make it easier for her, I will let Mama Bear and Rhiannon give brief biographies of themselves to remind the audience about themselves and not make Windwalker go first. So, whoever of the two of you would like to go first, go ahead.
Okay, well, my name is Rhiannon, and I have been a practicing pagan since I was 14 years old. I am going to be 43 this January, so I guess that makes this my, you know, 30th year.
In,
yeah, very long time. So I have run covens. I have been a teacher. I've been a reader. And I have thoroughly enjoyed my time in the Chicagoland pagan community, and I just like to help people.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Did we lose Mama
Bear? Your turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're breaking up again. Okay, I'm Kazan Clark. And I've been a practicing pagan for almost 30 years. I've been a priestess for about 20. I run covens, but I'm primarily a teaching priestess. I have a group that's ongoing, but, you know, they come and they go. And I've had a shop. I published a magazine. I have a website. And I actually came here to the Girdle of the Goddess to break the world down here in on pagan worship. And I've been doing a pretty good job of it.
That's one way of saying why you moved to Arkansas.
Yeah. Actually, I came to the crystals, but that's okay, too.
No.
Came for the crystals, stayed to shake everybody else up.
I know it. It was so much fun.
Very nice.
Reason number 29 why I like Mama Bear.
My first appearance in the local store, I had on a broomstick skirt, a bell ankle bracelet. I had geese, so I always let them know I was coming. And I had a crystal headband around my head, and I had purple hair. And I walked in there, and I bet you 1,000 people turned to look at me, if there was that many in the store, but nobody said a word the entire time I was in the store.
Huh. Yes, I remember when you had purple hair. I think you should
still
have purple hair.
I wish I still had it sometimes. Now it's going gray.
All right, Windwalker, it is your turn.
Oh, okay. Well, I am a practicing solitary, have been for 12 years plus now. I cannot say I have any of the achievements you ladies do, but I'm working my way up there.
You'll get there.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm slowly but surely making my way in there. Other than that, there's really not a whole lot to say. I'm trying to get out there inside of my own community and raise awareness. But, again, I don't have any achievements like you do. So
that's quite all right. And the only thing we left out is that you're in Ohio.
I am, yes.
Yeah. I did leave Cornfield. That out. So we have Arkansas, Ohio, and Illinois.
Well, we got the Midwest covered, don't we?
Yes, we do.
That we do.
Okay, so in general, let us do our check-in. So I have to go first for my check-in because I'm pretty happy today. And I will tell you all why I'm happy. I finally got the very last Sookie Stackhouse novel from the library. So I can see what all the hubbub is about. So not that I wouldn't have read it anyway, but I especially wanted to read it because of all the hubbub that was going on, because apparently people were sending Charlene Harris death threats and suicide threats.
Oh, really?
Because they didn't like the way she ended the last book.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So then it was like, okay, just for, you know, hysteria and drama sake, I have to, you know, make it a point to get it now and read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got it, but since we were talking about Books of Shadows and things of that nature, so I'm working on recreating a Book of Shadows for myself, and I got money for my birthday, and I went and blew it all on art supplies yesterday.
Yay!
That's why we're friends.
So, you know, so that is why I'm happy today, because I have new art supplies and a good book, and I'm working on projects.
Lots of chocolate bars. Lots of chocolate bars.
There you go. Okay, what else have any of you other ladies been up to since last you were on the show?
Well, I also had a pretty awesome but extremely overwhelming day. I went for the first time. For those of you who are not familiar and haven't listened before, I am learning to be a teacher, and I am student teaching this fall. And I went and I set up my classroom, and I had a seminar, and I met my supervising teachers, and it was very, very, very fast-paced, and I had a horrifying headache after I walked out of my seminar. And I had a realization of this is really happening. So I'm very excited to meet my fourth grade students in just a week. So,
oh, lucky you.
Yeah, boy, just a week. Somebody's going to actually trust me with their children. But I'm
which also leads to your other announcement about the show.
Yes. I was very overwhelmed, and glad that I listened when they said, make sure that you clear your schedule because you won't have time to do anything else. Say goodbye to your family and, you know, tell them you'll see them in 15 weeks. And that is because I will be off air until January to take care of this and become the best teacher that I can become and benefit the children that I will touch. So, not literally, but, you know, their lives.
Which is awesome, but just keep in mind that fourth graders, too, are tasty and crunchy with ketchup.
Yes. I'm certain I will feel that way fairly shortly. But, no, I'm very much looking forward to it. So, but I will miss everyone. I'll miss Mama Bear, and I will miss being able to be on the air, especially when I'm trying to cram lesson plans. But I will be thinking with you guys, and if I have time, I'll call in.
Yeah, you can
be cool.
And so, Mama Bear, what have you been up to since last you were on the show?
I've just been putting all the final touches on everything that I'm preparing for the Goddess Festival next weekend. And now that I'm trying to figure out a way to get there for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday instead of just Saturday, but we know how that goes. But they are having a woman's red tent up there, and I was just thrilled to hear about that. That's where women go in and talk about women's issues. Yeah, they're having that. I mean, see how far we've come?
See, and you know, Sandy Fu's not on with us tonight because I figured it might be one priestess too many trying to talk. So she's going to come on the 30th, and we're going to chinwag with her. But she and I have been working on red tenty stuff to do in the pagan community. So I am hoping we will definitely get something going there because we definitely want to encourage all of the women out there to, you know, really start celebrating women's rites of passage, you know, beyond just like the standard rites of passage, because there are many more events in our life that happen that, you know, deserve celebration in the red tent.
Right. I'll take notes.
As well as sorrows, I will add.
Yeah, and tragedies. Okay, but that's a great way to share all that. Bunch of women sitting around. I hope somebody bought a case of Kleenex. I really do.
Yeah, we will probably need lots of Kleenex in the red tent on occasion. But it's all good. I'm excited about working with Sandy Fu to develop something locally here in our community. So for those of you who are local to the greater Chicagoland area, like you are, Rhiannon, Sandy Fu's group actually has a ginormous red tent party Memorial Day weekend.
Very cool.
So I told her I was going to alternate with the Kotop picnic in the future.
There you go.
So next year I will not be at the Kotop picnic. Next year I'm going to the ginormous red tent party.
Well, you know what? I may go to the red tent party and skip the Kotop picnic.
Excellent. You may need it after teaching all those kids.
I am going to need it.
Well,
there's going to be alcohol at the red tent party, right?
Yes, there will be alcohol. You know, and we could play bocce ball there.
Yes, we could.
So, there you go. But anyway, we digress. We digress. So, we should probably get into our topic. So, tonight,
you forgot to ask Windwalker what she was doing.
Yes.
Well, I could ask her what she was doing, but it won't be since the last month that she was on the show. But would you like to chime in?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, why not? Well, since you guys don't know a whole lot about me, the basic rundown is I have four children, so I'm in the wonderful process of getting ready for them to go back to school as well. So, of course, we know how fun that is, trying to fight people to get to school supplies and that whole deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I also go to school as well. and I'm getting ready for myself to go back as well. So it's been kind of hectic around my house, and I have a 2-year-old. So that just, you know, makes it that much more wonderful. but I mean, otherwise, I honestly haven't done too terrible much. I actually took the summer off from school, so kind of been a little lazier than I should have been, but, you know, I needed a break.
I was just going to say, sometimes that's not lazy, it's smart.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I took a very, very good mental break this summer, so I'm ready to dive back into my studies, so ready to get it going.
Which is awesome. So I guess we're going to move on with our topic.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so our topic is sympathetic magic. So I have a couple of different definitions for sympathetic magic. Interestingly enough, the third one's kind of sucky, so I'm not going to read it, and I won't say who's by either.
Nice.
It was just kind of a weird random one. So in my Book of Shadows travels, I decided that the first thing I was going to do was I was going to go through all of my Llewellyn magical almanacs, because I collect them. I've been collecting them
right.
since I've been a pagan. So I have them going all the way back to 1992 when I discovered the almanac. And I actually did find that's where my crappy definition of sympathetic magic came from.
It just happened to pop up in there.
But I like the idea. What I went to right away was I went to Raven Grimasi's Encyclopedia of Wicca and Witchcraft.
Oh.
Is where my definition came from. So Raven Grimasi says that sympathetic magic is causing something to happen to a person, place, or thing by mimicry. It is a folk magic belief that if a person makes an image of another person and then does something to the image, the same thing in turn will happen to the actual person. The occult principle here is like attracts like. So that is his definition.
Uh-huh.
So, and a lot of you saw that are in the our radio group. And since I'm bringing the radio group up, I will post a link for it in the chat room. So you can join us in there if you haven't already joined us. But there's a definition by Don Lewis, who basically also attributes it to like attracting like, but goes further to say that because plants grow and they're green, then you can attribute the color green to growth and use green in a spell for growth or prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the way that you see raw food transformed into cooked food by the use of fire, then you could use fire in a transformation spell.
Right.
But if you would like to see the video definition yourself, feel free to go to YouTube and look up sympathetic magic, and it should pop up. And if it does not, I will post the link in the radio group. So now, ladies, do you each have your own definitions of sympathetic magic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay, well, since you're heckling me, Miss Rhiannon, you can go first.
I was heckling you? Okay, for me, my definition of sympathetic magic is simply the use of something to symbolize your will. So every time, and, you know, I have to pick on my Catholic friends, just because there's a lot of times they argue with me that they don't use magic, but Catholics use magic all the time, every time they light a candle. And say a prayer. It's no different than when we perform candle magic. And sympathetic magic is, to me, using a symbol for your will or your wishes and carrying it through. So every time you plant a seed for growth in your life,
right around the springtime. You're planting your seed literally in the pots that you have symbols on or in the ground where you have something sacred placed. That is, you're looking for a sympathetic reaction to the magic that you are attempting to do. So you can, sympathetic magic can be candle magic, can be physically making a poppet, can be freezing someone. Why, if you want to stop somebody from doing something, do you use a cord and tie it around something? You know, you, whether it is the intent that you're trying to stop them from harming you or someone you know, so you bind them from harming you. So you may tie something maybe around a picture of them, or some, maybe there's an action they're performing and you want this action to stop. That is a form of sympathetic magic. You are requesting through symbolism that something stop or start. And it is, in my opinion, a way to focus your energy and your will and get it out there to the universe. It is, I understand the concept of like attracts like. I think that's part of it. I don't think that's the whole of it. Because it has a lot to do with what your intent is, even if you, but that is why you use green to do a money spell, to grow your bank account, or why you would use cinnamon to spice up, you know, your love life, because you want to be able to have the effect that cinnamon has on your taste buds in your bedroom. You know what I mean? So that to me,
for some of us, that would be retching.
for some of us it would be. I'm one of those someones, but some people like cinnamon. You know, they love the smell of it, they love the taste of it. It's a very wonderful herb to them. I'm not one of them, but but that is just an example of how cinnamon is used sometimes. So,
sorry, I just had to throw that in because, like, the taste of cinnamon without sugar mixed into it would actually make me retch, and I want to do that in the bedroom if I'm using that for a spell.
Well, I wouldn't recommend swallowing the cinnamon. If you are using cinnamon in sympathetic magic, I would recommend you put it in an incense, in a candle, burn the candle at your bedside, you know, a little more than drinking or eating it without sugar, because that's just really disgusting.
Agreed. Okay, ladies, does anybody else have a definition?
I agree a lot with Rhiannon.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I actually agree as well. I don't believe that as far as sympathetic magic goes, it has to always involve some form of an effigy, like, you know, the poppet or whatever. I was actually doing some research, and evidently this is something that even predates a lot of things. Evidently anthropologists are at debate, but they're saying that the Cro-Magnon shamans actually used to exhibit this type of behavior. What they would do evidently is go into these caves and they would do like the different drawings, you know, of a hunt or something to that nature. And they basically are interpreting this as, you know, one interprets it as a good hunt, but someone else interprets it as just basically the images and visions that they would get from being inside of the cave and in their trance-like state.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently this is, you know, something that predates a lot farther back than what most people think. So I would have to agree in the fact that you don't always have to have, you know, something such as a poppet in your hand to do sympathetic magic. I believe that it's just something to push out your will, whether it be hopefully good, but, you know, there are the ones that choose the negative route. So I would definitely agree.
Okay. Mama. So, go on. Brianna was prompting Mama Bear
to speak. I was just
going
to say, yeah, yes, I was. I wanted to hear what Mama Bear had to say, too.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think that, truthfully, you don't need objects. If your will is strong enough, your intent is strong enough, you know, these things help. But you can do this without anything if you are a good, strong visualizer with a good, strong intent behind you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I call that zinging.
I like that. I like that. I may borrow that.
Okay.
No, agreed, ladies. I think that, you know, the definition that I gave by Raven Grimassi, I think, you know, it's a really simplified definition of like attracting like. I think that's its definition in its simplest form, and obviously, you know, it can be more complicated, but on a very basic level, it is like attracts like. And, you know, so of course prophets have been mentioned several times. You can also use images, photos, and for all practical purposes, going with what Windwalker said, you know, drawings. I would think that any level of transformation can be made by drawing out what you would like to see happen and focusing on that image and, you know, posting that image somewhere where you see it on a regular basis. I mean, it's much like an affirmation in that sense.
Exactly. Well, and the same thing, as I was saying with the Catholics, you know, when they turn, you know, the wine into the blood of Christ and the wafers into his body, and that they are symbolically bringing in the I'm not sure why they're eating it.
Symbolically, it's cannibalism of zombies.
Right.
But go on.
You know, symbolically, I forgot after years of not being involved with the Catholic faith. I forgot why they do that, but I think symbolically it is sympathetic magic. They are definitely intending an effect. I think it is for the grace of God. I think. Which means you're looking for a blessing, and just even the term sympathetic means you want something to agree with what you want to have happen, and the best way to show that, if you can't do it silently and with your own person, with your will alone, is through symbolism, and that's really what sympathetic magic entails to me. It is the symbolism behind your intent.
So let's talk about some spells that involve sympathetic magic.
Okay. Okay.
So do you guys want me to go first and give you a minute to think?
Oh, I've got one if you want.
Yeah, I do
okay,
too.
Okay, go ahead. All righty then. Whoever wants to go first, go.
Go ahead, Mama.
Okay, my very, very favorite thing to do to people that get on my nerves really bad, and I'm not talking about just aggravate, but gossips, people that like to stir things up and just keep it going, I will take a piece of paper, I will write their name. If I know their birth date, I'll write that birth date down. I'll tie that up into a little black cloth, tie it up with a red string, and I bury it in my deep freeze. The intent being, just keep your mouth shut about me or whoever you're bothering. You know, write down your intent on that paper. And I'm not being honest, there are people I've taken out of the deep freeze after 30 days and turn around and put them right back within 7 days. But, you know, I'm not talking relatives, okay? I'm just talking neighbors. There's nothing to do in the South, okay? Gossip is a sport. And I've had to do that a couple of times. I have. And if I really have a problem with them, you know, and you can talk to people, I can talk to them, blue in the face, and they'll go, well, bless your heart. No, I'm not talking to you no more. You go in the freezer. And I have a funny story with that because my daughter's deep freeze when the tornado hit Coleman, Alabama, 2 summers ago or whatever, the deep freeze went out. And her husband came home, and he started cleaning out the deep freezer. She goes, don't touch that. It's in a Ziploc bag in the back of the freezer. And he goes, what is it? She said, don't touch that. It's got to stay in the freezer. He said, it's thawed out. She said, I don't care. Leave it in the freezer till the new one gets here. She had somebody. She wouldn't tell me who it was, but she would not allow them to come out of that freezer till the new freezer was delivered, and she put it in there herself.
Nice. A very good ritual of synthetic magic that I had done involved fertility, and where the seeker of who wanted to be fertile and have a baby used plant sticks. You use 13 plant sticks, and you place them around a tree to help feed the tree and nurture the tree, while giving the intent that you will soon grow and nurture life within you. And the intent worked very well by the person, and the child is now 10 years old. So
nice. I like that one.
Yes. And the entire time that you are planting, placing the fertilizing sticks around the tree, you envision yourself becoming fertile with new life and growing the new life within you. So it did work out very well. And both mom and child are, they're doing well. It is a good thing, you know, to be able to help somebody in that way, you know?
Absolutely. So. Wynn Walker, what's yours?
Well, mine was actually for a truth. It was a truth-based spell. There was some things going around, and we needed to get to the bottom of it. So we actually created a poppet, and we inserted different herbs. We were actually doing it to the god Apollo. I was actually helping a friend with this. And she put a bunch of different herbs and things inside of the poppet. We lit a red candle with the different elemental symbols around it. And we, did it. And we actually had sewed a mouth into it that was stitched up. And she cut the stitches in the mouth, hoping to get the truth out. And then everything from the offering, the candle, as well as the poppet itself was buried into her backyard. I've yet to hear whether this worked or not. This was only a couple, literally just like a month or so ago. So we're still hoping here.
Sometimes it can take a while for work. And, you know, and that's the thing. It reminds me of a very good point. When you're performing magic, please keep in mind that the deities don't consider time like we do.
Exactly.
And so you need to be very specific. I would like to know this within 3 months or 2 months, or give a date. Say, could I please hear something back in, you know, by September, so that you know whether or not your efforts are bearing fruit, or you need to move on and try something new. So,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where we're at this point. So, you know, like you
and
said,
it
takes time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I actually have something to read out of a book in a little bit about time management and fetishes and manifesting elementals and things like that. So a little bit more for the advanced magics. But sticking in line with kind of where we are at the moment, I'm looking at the clock, and it reminds me that we need to take our break for at least me to remind people that they are tuned into the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and you are listening to Pagan Priestess. And we are talking about sympathetic magic. So, let's see, which spell? For the deep freeze spell, as far as stopping gossip,
That one actually reminded me of a spell that was in Silver Ravenwolf's book for teenagers. Because my daughter has that book, and it took her quite a while to grow into it since the book came out, but she does have her own copy of it now. But prior to her, I bought a copy of it for my niece. So I have to say that the spell in there that I liked quite a bit that dealt with gossip was, it's called Pucker Up, I think is what she actually titled the spell as. But it was interesting in the sympathetic magic aspect, because what she tells you to do in this particular spell was, this is for when you tell somebody a secret and you kind of regret telling them the secret because you're afraid they're going to blab and tell other people your secret. And so she uses lemon lollipops. And as part of the spell, you put the lemon lollipop in a glass of water to completely dissolve the lollipop, hoping that the strong lemon from the lollipop will make them pucker up and hence not tell your secret to other people. That's very clever.
Yeah, I like that.
I wanted to say that spell because I think Silver Ravenwolf kind of gets a bad rap sometimes about some of her books.
Yeah, I think so too. It wrongfully is, so, you know.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, you know, some authors you like, some authors you don't care for, but I think she gets picked on a little much.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Oh, absolutely.
But I like that spell in particular, and actually there's a lot of great spells, even though it's a book for teenagers.
Right.
Because I found that spell very entertaining. So that's my first example, because I do like that spell with the lollipop, and it's simple enough to do and crosses the idea of sympathetic magic, because you want them to pucker up and not tell your secret.
Right.
So my next example comes with a warning. Mine is with a poppet. So here's what I will tell you about a poppet. So poppets and voodoo dolls, pretty much the same thing in my 2 cents worth. And I bought a voodoo doll to use with my mom when she was sick, when she had cancer. And so, of course, like I said, voodoo dolls kind of get a negative rap, but it's really how you use them. They can be used for good or for bad. It depends on the human. So I used this particular voodoo doll because my mom had stomach cancer. And so I stuck needles into the where the stomach would be of the voodoo doll, and focusing on that particular area of healing, to heal my mom's stomach cancer. So what I can tell you about what happened is my mom's stomach cancer did go away, but it dropped down and manifested somewhere else. So what I will say is that although the doll did work for me, I focused on a specific area rather than whole healing, and my mom actually died.
Right.
Is not to say I believe it's my fault she died, but I feel like I could have been more helpful to her had I focused on whole healing of her body versus one area. So that's where my warning comes in, is when you're doing something like that, remember to focus wholly on if you're using like a poppet or whatever for healing.
Right.
Focus wholly on the whole body versus just one area, because something weird like that could happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then make you go, duh. when you use a poppet or a doll for something like that, many people will tell you that after you do a successful healing or whatever, that you should burn, bury, or get rid of the doll. In my case, I chose not to do that because my mom did pass away. So I kept the doll, and I have it as a physical representation of my mom on my ancestor shrine. So in using poppets and stuff like that, you're really going to have to decide what works best for you.
Then you can have permanent poppets. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
It depends on the it depends on the intention how you use them. You know, you could have a permanent poppet that you design to bring prosperity to your family. You know, maybe to ensure that you have job security. That's certainly not one you want to get rid of, unless you feel it's being ineffectual.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants a poppet that doesn't do its job.
Right. So I'm going to try to call Mama Bear back. She fell off the switchboard, and I'm hoping that it will not ring over the on the air.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that without having it ring over the air and bring her back on. So we should keep chatting. So what else do you ladies have?
I have done a lot. Well, you know, I really do enjoy candle magic when doing sympathetic magic. If you're looking for a form of sympathetic magic, you can do multiple symbolism. In candles, what's wonderful about them is you can take a needle and or if you happen to have artists, you know, like clay tools or whatever to carve into the side of the candle your exact intent. You can, if you work with runes and you would like symbols on the candle in runes, you can carve right into the candle and make the as the candle burns, the intent being carried out. So color, anything you inscribe in it, any kind of herbs or oils that you want to rub in or on it, just be careful. Know your herbs and your stones and your oils. Cedar will go up like a Roman candle. You know, jet is actually a less densely packed form of coal. Don't put that in a candle. It will catch on fire and continue to burn for quite some time. And
it will.
So just make sure before you add anything to your candles that you're being safe in what you're doing, because you can have a disastrous effect. And it will not be, you know, magical at all.
That's one way of putting it.
it'll be quite terrifying sometimes. But you know, you can do house blessings with sympathetic magic. You can almost any spell. I can't really think of anything that you couldn't use sympathetic magic for. And in my opinion, sympathetic magic is what most 99% of people who do magic, sympathetic magic is what they do. It's very rare that I meet people who do magic without any symbolism whatsoever, or any representation of what it is that they're trying to do. We're humans. We need to focus, and we need the ability to focus. And sometimes we need a lot of help doing that. I know I do.
Yeah. Excuse me. I definitely think that symbolism, no matter what form it is, you definitely, in my opinion, to intensify whatever it is you're doing, you have to have some kind of symbol backing it up. Whether it, you know, as you stated, is if it's just your intent, you know, written into a candle or something. Something as simple as that, it has to be, in my opinion, symbolized in some way, shape, or form. That way, you know, intentions don't get crossed, so to speak.
Exactly. Although you do have to be particularly clear. Because, again, the way we communicate is very different because we're corporeal beings. So, and we are limited by our brain. So the way in which we try to get our point across may not always be clear. So the more symbols we can use to be specific, the better results I believe that we will get.
you know, using using the fertilizing sticks for the trees is a very simple way of saying, I am a nurturing person. I am going to help this tree grow. It is my gift. Now I'm asking for the gift of being able to nurture within my body. You know, that's a very, very straightforward, direct way of doing it. She could have written a petition and, you know, purchased a candle and, you know, went through, you know, some, or scrying in water or whatever. She could have gone many other routes with it. I just felt that being as direct as you possibly can, don't get lost in the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make something, and if you don't understand how to use it or you don't work well with it, don't do it. Because it'll have the opposite effect. Rather than focus you, it will cause distraction. So make sure
and it'll be scattered.
Exactly. Make sure you understand what it is you're using. And even if you didn't read it in the book, but it came to you and it was an idea and it makes sense to you, then run with that. Just because it's written on, I don't like the fact that people rely so much on what's written in books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dissing any of our community's authors at all. I give them a lot of kudos because, quite frankly, I don't have the time, energy, or patience to write a book. I really don't. And I admire people who can.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm horrible at writing. That's how I feel. I don't even write my book Shadows most of the time. I have like four of them started. I get, you know, 7-8 pages in, and yeah, no. Writing.
Okay,
not my forte.
Well, on that note, I wanted to take a break and play a song, so which I have to say is quickly becoming a new favorite for me. So I'm going to subject you to my new favorite song by S.J. Tucker, which is called Firebird Child. And so it's kind of a chick song, and it's very chanty, and I think I'm going to at some point try to learn all the words to it and get people chanting this around the campfire the next time I go to a festival. and then we're going to come back and we're going to, because we're 10 minutes before the top of the hour, but I have a little excerpt that I wanted to read out of a book and see what you ladies thought about it, going into some advanced magic stuff. So stick around. We will be back right after this awesome chanty song by S.J. Tucker. And we'll be back.
I am the firebird. I am his daughter. I am the firebird child.
I am the firebird child.
I am the firebird. I am his daughter. And like the flame, I am wild, 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 wild. I am the firebird. I am his daughter. Heard. Join in the dance and make it wild, wild, wild. Join in the dance and make it wild. To see a maiden dance around the fire is not so strange, but fire dances around the limbs of this uncommon maid. Be brave enough to burn and you'll be brave enough to fly. Join your sister Solace as she lights the morning sky. I am the firebird.
Welcome back. That was S.J. Tucker, the Firebird Child, and you are tuned into Pagan Priestess on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. And you're listening to Tracy Logan Wood, joined by Kazan Clark, Wind Walker, and Rhiannon, and we are discussing sympathetic magic. So welcome back to the show, everybody.
Yeah.
What was that?
I said you have an echo.
Oh, yeah, somebody is echoing.
Yeah.
But it's not me.
You know, Tracy, you've heard that song before. I'm pretty sure.
Say that again?
I'm pretty sure that when we were doing Chicago Pagan Choir, we sang that.
Oh, cool.
I think I have the sheet music for it.
Cool. That is my new favorite S.J. Tucker song.
I love S.J. Tucker. She's awesome.
But I'm currently kind of stuck on Murphy's Midnight Rounders, new CDs that I got from them at Chrysalis Moon.
But
I can't play them every show. I could, but, you know, then you guys might be sending me hate mail if I'm only playing one band all the time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm just teasing. Send your angry emails to Ed Hubbard at... No, just kidding. Well, you know, if you all know Ed out there, you know it's always Ed's fault. So, that's all I'm saying.
It feels so
it's
bad
always
for
Ed's fault. well, you know, karma. It's a thing, right?
Right.
So obviously we're going to run over our allotted time just a little bit tonight in our conversation. But I wanted to bring up, so I have this book, and I realize it's not a Wicca book. it's a book on voodoo rituals. And if you get past the intro kind of couple of chapters where they talk about the Orisha and stuff, she starts to go into some interesting magic stuff, and it's all sort of common sense stuff, which is why I figured I would ask you ladies what your opinion is on some of this stuff. So she's kind of going a step farther in discussing sympathetic magic, and she's talking about fetishes and the creation of elementals. So this is going into what Rhiannon was kind of saying about not really needing anything, but creating something. So they say in the book that choose a simple object as possible, and then with your concentrated will, call the elemental out from the cosmos and imagine it into an object. Choose carefully the hour that is governed by the element. If the being is to work for you, charge it through your own body, which means you first collect the element's energy into your body and then conduct it by the strength of your will through your finger into the object. Okay, so, you know, obviously there's much more into creating the elemental, but what I want to go into are the specifics of what she's talking about in the creation, and then have you... you priestesses comment on what you think about this. So they say, before you decide to create an elemental, you need to be aware that you are responsible for the elemental's actions just as you are for your own. If for any reason, whether due to your own fault or not, you lose control over the elemental, it will affect your fate accordingly. Begin by making a list of tasks that you want the elemental to fulfill. So this is kind of going a little bit more into what Rhiannon was saying. Then choose a name, a gender, and the form. It could be as simple as a geometric figure, for instance, a sphere, a cube, or a pyramid, and it could just as well be a figure of an animal. There will be no limits to your fantasy. Then select the element for which the being is to be equipped. Fire, water, earth, or air, produce it and stow it. It should be tuned as closely as possible to the task and form of the elemental.
An advanced magician can also create an elemental that combines the attributes of all four elements. Once the tasks are listed, you need to determine how much time it will take to carry out each task. An elemental moves independent of time and space, so it can accomplish its task with the speed of lightning. And then you need to decide on a command upon which it must return to its body. It is also extremely important to set a fixed lifespan, exact as to year, day, hour, and also by what command this will happen and how its end will take place. When the predetermined time has arrived for the elemental to take its leave, you can give it to the custody of a higher spirit or an elemental being. To repeat, it is of great importance to lay all of this down beforehand because elementals have the tendency to develop a personal life. The longer you work with elementals, the stronger they become. And since you are again and again charged, and since they are again and again charged with energy, if such a being should outlive you, its creator, remember that you will still remain responsible beyond your death for the elemental's deeds. So what says you, ladies?
Well, the closest thing I have done to something like that is I created a golem to watch over my altar, but I really don't want to create an elemental to do things. I mean, that I just don't want that responsibility. I don't want to go there.
First of all, for me, I don't believe I have the right to command anything other than myself. So, and maybe my children, but certainly not an elemental or a deity. So I agree with Mama Bear. I do not want that responsibility. That is some karma I just really don't want to be paying back. It's very advanced magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's unnecessary, at least in the way that I practice my faith and my spiritual path. I don't need to create a fetish with an elemental in it to go out and carry out my will.
I get that both of you are saying I don't want the responsibility, but do you agree with the ethics of what the book is saying as far as be very specific, you're responsible for this? I realize it's a higher magic to work with, and a lot of us are like, yeah, I don't mess with stuff like that. However...
Well, you know what? If we are hesitant to use it, then we agree that his guidelines are very strict and they should be followed implicitly. We know this. This is a dangerous thing to get into. So I agree with his guidelines, but that's as far as I can go with it because actually it scares me because I can't remember to thaw out ground beef in the morning, much less remember that I got to do something about this.
Exactly. No, it's a very, do I think that the author does a good job of stressing that the person needs to be aware of the consequences of their actions? I think, sure. Did he mention it? Yes. I'm assuming it's a male. I don't know who wrote the book. Male or female, whoever doesn't know, but I think the author could have stressed it maybe a bit more. I don't know. I haven't seen how the book is laid out. Do they use both print? Is it something, you know, is there a warning? You know, I don't know. But it is very specific instructions. I think somebody with enough intent could pull this off. But I can't even begin to recommend trying something like this. I don't want to. I don't want to touch with a pencil.
I gotcha. I have not tried anything in the book. I just found the book a very fascinating read. I'm not really sure what made me pick this book up and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for, I don't know, I've probably had it for at least 10 years now.
But here's the thing, though, Tracy. I think that those books are important to pick up and read. I think it's important to know that that information is
out
there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because...
Just don't come to me and say, fix me, because they sent this thing after me, because I'm going, whoo, go get yourself somebody else.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I actually have had this happen, where people go, there's something in my house. And then I go... And I go to cleanse the house, and then they say, I don't know how it got here. And they say, well, what have you been doing lately? And then they describe things to me, and I'm like, how do you not know that this is, you stop doing things.
Well, I had somebody come and get me. They had opened the portal in their kitchen under their refrigerator, and all kinds of crazy things were in their house, you know. And she said, you guys come and close the portal. I said, how did you open it? She said, well, I don't know. We did about 8 different spells in a week. And she said, I don't know which one it was. I said, well, I can't close it until I know what you've done, because I don't even know what you let in.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I turned it over to a shaman that I know, because I didn't know how to deal with this. The things would move.
Oh.
I mean, right in front of your eyes, things would fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, oh,
it's
no,
like,
no, this is beyond me. I'm not doing it.
Well, sometimes you want to look at people who do that and say, and at what point did you figure using spell work like a machine gun was a good idea? You know?
Exactly. Well, and I think it also goes into what was stated earlier about the herbs, knowing what you're working with. You know, you have to understand that what you're doing is not a game. You can have serious repercussions from things that you're messing with that you have no idea about. And I don't think a lot of people understand that they really need to do, I guess to say, their homework on it before they go doing these types of things. Because either you got to understand the repercussions from what you're doing, or you have to actually be able to do what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So there was an interesting comment in the chat room that says, I notice a lot that gray and left-hand paths use these as protections.
Mm-hmm.
That's their choice, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if that's how they choose to protect themselves, that's something that I personally do not have to deal with. That is something they have to deal with. If they're doing it and they understand what they're doing and they know the possible repercussions from it, I say live and let live. I personally don't take that route to protect my house or my family or myself. You know, I do more positive things, but that's my preference.
Mm-hmm. And even for me, I could see maybe needing to create some type of a fetish or an elemental for something huge, for something that's a huge big deal, and not something that I would, not something lightly, not something that was not life-threatening, I think.
There are so many other ways to protect oneself or to get their point across without having to have the responsibility of a fetish or an elemental on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I do like the fact that the book states, you carry this to the grave with you if you don't clean up your mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? If you don't do this right, this is not something that just goes away with time. You know? You
right.
You know, it's not, you know, let's get the bounty towels and, you know, clean it up. It doesn't happen that way, you know.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's hard enough picking up after somebody who does a much simpler form of magic and messes it up.
rather than have to go in and deal with people who are opening portals or, you know, vortexes in some cases because they're messing with something that they have no idea on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a huge difference between some of the simpler things that we were talking about as far as sympathetic magic, some seriously advanced magic, and creating elementals and fetishes. And admittedly, there's some really dark stuff in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And the author states, I don't recommend that you use any of the more negative things that they list in the book, but they're saying, I'm just putting this out here for informational purposes. But I could see there would probably be some people who would try to use some of the nasty stuff in there, which is also why I didn't give the exact title of the book or the author, because, you know, I'm not necessarily trying to push that information out there, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed in the topic of sympathetic magic, that, you know, there's a light side and a dark side.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. Well, but, you know, I'll tell you though, Tracy, you could take, like, the simple spell that we talked about with the fertilizing the tree, the fertility
mm-hmm.
spell, and you can make it something dark, you know? You can take, and if you are a dark person and you like negativity and you like darker intent, well, you can turn anything that way, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate. It would be nice if you couldn't. But there is no clear cut. I don't like the term light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are all shades of gray. No matter what, we're all human, and we all have good moments and bad moments, and that stands to reason, then, that our magic would follow that as well.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah, so I think that to intentionally go out and look at something like this fetish and think, because there are some people who, I mean, who here doesn't have a friend who's been obsessed with that? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And something like a fetish in their hands or an elemental in their hands, if you're not right in the head, you shouldn't be performing magic,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is. So
yeah, but this is a whole other conversation with people who actually aren't right in the head. See, I have to give you crap about that because you make it sound like you can go up to somebody and go, you're not right in the head, so therefore, I banish your ability to perform magic.
Well, no, I can't banish anybody's ability to perform magic. However, next time somebody comes up to me, and I've done this in the past, and they say, I would like to do this. And I look at them and go, well, I'm not going to help you. And I walk the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I think that comes along, though, with knowing what you're doing. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, if you're not right in the noggin and you decide to do that, you know, whether you choose to understand it or not, you know, it's good to at least find out what the possible repercussions could be, because you never know whose life you could possibly be screwing up, including your own.
Right. Well, I actually had a conversation with a Lutheran minister about what it was to be pagan. And what that meant. And I said, well, we take personal responsibility for our path and our actions. There's no higher power telling us you have to do this, A, B, or C, in order to get this, you know, this reward at the end of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're responsible in the here and the now for what we do or do not do. And, you know, most of my life, even when I've been ridiculously messed up and depressed, I knew that's where I was in my life. And
mm-hmm.
it's just very difficult, and I think a lot of us need to strive to recognize that when are good times in our own lives to seek out and perform magic or to set it down for a hot minute until we can do something for ourselves, or to go out and seek a friend and say, I need help. Can you send me some healing? Can you send me some help? Can you help me with this situation? And I that's, you know, part of sympathetic magic
and before and be practicing sympathetic magic is knowing when not to for yourself. You know.
Exactly, because if you're not in the right state of mind, how are you supposed to help somebody else?
Yeah.
You know,
Exactly.
I agree 100%. And I also think that that has to do with being in tune with yourself to
Absolutely.
Know when you've hit that point that it's good for you to kind of step back and say, hey, you know I shouldn't be doing this right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that that takes somebody of intelligence to admit, because not a lot of people would. And when you're doing
mm-hmm.
things, you know, like practicing magic, you have to have that in tune with yourself to be able to admit something like that.
Right. And it's not just
well,
in my...
the old expression, which know thyself.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And that's to know yourself.
Mm-hmm. But and also, I don't think it's just intelligence. I think it's courage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the courage.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, just something as simple as, like, for example, I've struggled with overeating most of my life. I have an eating disorder, and that's what it is, you know. And when I had to keep a food journal, the hardest thing, nobody read this journal but me, but it was so hard to be honest in just writing down what I was responsible for. You know, it's partially what taught me the courage to be honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it is not something that comes naturally to us as humans. We don't like to see our flaws or when we're vulnerable. And we certainly don't like others to see it. So it's not, you know, and I do believe that paganism, being a witch, is a very difficult path and not for everybody. And it is, it's why, I do believe that's why there's so many other faiths on this planet, because not no one faith fits everyone. But being a magical practitioner, there are certain rights and responsibilities you have that come right along with it. You know, and part of that is knowing when things are okay and when things are not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a quarter past the hour now, so I think we're going to wind down, and I'm going to ask each of you ladies to give your final 2 cents worth on our topic of sympathetic magic and what you would like to leave the audience with.
Cricket. Okay, I'll go first. I think that sympathetic magic is a wonderful tool. And journal what you do so that you remember it, because a lot of sympathetic magic for me happens on the fly. And then I go back a year later and go, what did I do? So write down what you've done and how it works and just enjoy it. And enjoy being able to try different things and keep notes on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay.
Next.
All right.
I think basically almost all magic is sympathetic magic. And like Leanna was saying, be in tune with yourself before you know who you are and what you're doing before you jump off to do anything. Because when you send it out there, the results will come back to you. Be careful. Know yourself. Know your craft. Know what you're doing.
Well said.
Well said. Absolutely. I completely agree with the other two ladies. You just really have to know and understand what you're doing and know that, you know, you can do it with anything. You know, we've talked about candles, we've talked about poppets. You know, you don't have to devote yourself to one form of it. I mean, I agree with both ladies in the fact that you have to know your craft, and you also have to, you know, understand the repercussions of everything that you do. You know, but it's a wonderful tool, and I would always recommend to definitely start out with it if, you know, you're just beginning or whatever. So, that's it.
Cool. You know, and I agree with most of what you ladies have said. And I think what I want to leave the audience with is that, you know, sympathetic magic can be as simple or as complicated as you choose to make it. So I think that level of simplicity or not lies within the heart of each witch and what they're trying to accomplish with will and intent and desire and all of that stuff. And I think that, you know, there's always more to be learned about our craft and ourselves as people. Because in addition to knowing your craft, you need to know yourself. And I hope you all will keep the conversation going in your own communities and will reach out socially and strike up conversations about sympathetic magic and, you know, reach out with understanding to see where other people are at. I think that's the best way that we communicate and learn in our community is by reaching out socially and talking to each other. And, you know, you can always come hang out with us in the Pagan Priestess public radio group because, you know, when we talked about Book of Shadows, I had a ton of different posts that I put in the group. So do find us there. You can communicate with any of the priestesses from the show in our group. So I think that's what I want to leave everybody with. And Rhianna just fell off the switchboard.
Uh-oh.
So she might call back in to say goodnight, or she might not. I don't know if her phone died or if she just lost her signal. So we'll give her a minute. But ladies, where can you be found when you're not here on the Pagan Stonite Radio Network?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Suzanne Clark, or you can get to me or through to me using the Pagan Stonite Radio Network.
Okay. Same here. I can be found on Facebook, Amanda Osterlo, or I can be found on the Pagan Stonite Radio Network. I finally figured that out and got my account all set up. So I should be reached either way.
There you go. So I also can be found on Facebook. You can find me on my page, Archpriestess Tracy Logan Wood on Facebook. Otherwise, you can drop any of us a note at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And I don't know, I guess Rhiannon is unable to call back in. Perhaps her phone did croak because we went over the hour and, you know, maybe her phone just doesn't love her that much. But we do want to wish her well on her fourth grade adventures for the next. Oh, she's back. So there
Sorry.
You go. So you're back, Rhiannon. So I can tell you in person, I wanted to wish you much luck and happiness on your adventures with the fourth graders for the next 15 weeks. And and we will look forward to having you back in January.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. My phone just a little goofy sometimes.
It happens.
Rhiannon, I want to tell you, I'm going to miss you on the show, so make sure you come back.
I will, honey. I will miss you, too. I will miss you.
And, you know, we have to thoroughly break or break in Windwalker in your absence.
Well, it won't take her long.
It won't. And, you know, I was so glad that I had the opportunity to do a show with you, Windwalker. That was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I hopefully we can stay in touch through Facebook or something.
Absolutely.
Like to get to know everybody a little better. I mean, I've got some big shoes to fill for a little while, so hopefully I can fill them right.
I have fat feet. Oh, no.
Well, like I said, you know, we'll either break her or break her in.
Hopefully it's break me in. Break me in.
Exactly.
Okay, now, there's no need to make it sound dirty. We've already talked about eating fourth graders today.
All right. Well, thank you, Tracy, for a wonderful time tonight. This is a wonderful last show to do, and thank you.
Great topic. You are quite welcome. And We hope you all will tune in next week. We will be back talking as usual. So with that, we will say goodnight and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.